Good morning. We want to welcome you to our Sunday worship service here at the Boones Mill Church of the Brethren this morning, and so glad that you have come out to join us. We extend a warm welcome to all of you that are here, for those here in the sanctuary, those in the Sunday school rooms, and those out in their vehicles. We want to say welcome. We're glad you're here. We're anticipating on this beautiful Sunday morning a very special service. But I also have to say that we still have heavy hearts today as a congregation because of the loss of one of our family members, for Ann and Ronnie Minix's son, Jason, who was laid to rest this past week. Our hearts and our prayers continue to go out to the family, and we just pray that God will give us the strength and the courage and the understanding as we go through such a difficult time. But for all of you here in hearing of my voice, we're glad that you're here today to celebrate with us. And so I want to say welcome. Next week, we're going to conclude this series of messages from the book of James. Today in part 14 in our series, we're looking at, through this series of how to face our future, the message is how to develop patience. And let me ask you a personal question this morning as we begin this message. How many of you are waiting on something to happen in your life? You know, a lot of our life we spend waiting. As a toddler and a child, I waited all those early years to start school. Couldn't wait to start school. My mom actually changed my birth date so I wouldn't have to wait another year to start first grade. I missed the cutoff date by one day. And so she changed my birthday. And I was a teenager before I knew what my real birthday was. Then after I started going to school, which I couldn't wait, then I couldn't wait until I could finally get out of school, until I could finish. Then I couldn't wait until I could fall in love. And then I couldn't wait until I could get married. And then I couldn't wait until we had kids. We spend a lot of our lives waiting. There are many things in life that test our patience. I don't know about you, but when I'm driving in traffic, you know, they're never driving in the right lane or going the right speed, and that's a problem. You be in a supermarket, and have you ever been in line and you say, this line is shorter, so you go over there so you get through faster, and then you find out you get up there and they're going to close that line so they can't take you. I don't know about you, but that's happened to me. Waiting in the doctor's office, especially during the pandemic, is getting even harder. But all of those things, it's hard to be patient. You ever been around irritating people who just seem to annoy you, and you want them to be out of your way, and we're waiting for something different to happen? We hate to wait because we're the now generation. We do not like to wait. My wife will tell you that I am, most of the time, a very patient person, except when I'm hungry. Now, when I'm hungry, I lose my character. I transform into a different creature, it seems, sometimes. And it is so irritating when I'm hungry. When I go to a restaurant, there are five different times I have to wait when I go to a restaurant, especially if I'm hungry. I have to wait to get a seat. And with the pandemic, you have to wait out in your car sometimes and those kind of things. Then once I get in, I have to wait to get a menu so that I'm able to see what they're offering. Then I have to wait in order for the waitress finally to come around to take the order. Then I have to wait to get the food after it's been placed on order. Then after I've eaten, I'm a little better shape after that because I'm not hungry anymore, but I have to wait for the bill before I can leave, and it seems like they've forgotten me by that time. I don't know, how about you? Ever had any of those experiences? Probably have. And restaurants, now take this. Restaurants have the audacity to call the guy running around the table a waiter. No, I'm the waiter. Well, anyway, today we're going to look at what James has to say on how to develop patience. You need patience in every area of your life. And in this passage, James used the words patience or perseverance 6 times in those short verses we read. He uses 3 different illustrations to teach us when to be patient, why to be patient, and how to be patient. And so I want us to look at those and to see how they describe that. So the first thing we're going to look at is, when should I be patient? And the first thing is, when circumstances are uncontrollable. Have you figured out that a lot of life is beyond your control? You cannot keep your thumb on everything. And James uses a farmer as an example of when circumstances are uncontrollable. In verse 7, he says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming." See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is? In other words, a farmer has to do a lot of waiting. He's waiting to plow the land. He's waiting to plant. He's waiting to hoe after the plants finally come up. And so there's a lot of factors in waiting. Yet more than the factors of waiting on things to do are the factors that the farmer has no control over. He can't control the weather. He can't control the rain or the heat or the economy or the labor practices. And if you have a lot of faith, you can be a farmer because you have to learn to wait because it takes patience. And if you're not patient, then I would certainly advise you not to become a farmer. Just so. But listen to this, brothers and sisters. Just so, in life, if you have a lot of faith and you trust in God and you believe in God, you can deal with a lot of uncontrollable factors and things that happen to you. And during that, you will need to be patient. Have you noticed that even when we realize a situation is beyond our control, that there's nothing we can do, that we still try to control it? And how do we do that? By worrying. Worry will not help control a situation. To worry about something that you can change is dumb. Well, just if you can do something about it, just do it. However, to worry about something you can't change is useless. Either way, you shouldn't worry, and the Bible tells us about that. Do not be anxious. We need to have patience in uncontrollable circumstances. And here's the second thing you should be patient over. When people are unchangeable. When people won't change, James gives us an example in verse 10 of the scripture we read. It says, "As an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." What was the duty of prophets? To help people change. The prophet was to speak the word of God and to bring people back to God. to help them to be different in their behavior. Now, I'm sure you've recognized this, but you notice that people resist change. When you make any little tiny suggestion that a person should change, they resist you. They resent you. Do you have anybody in your life right now that refuses to make changes? Bonda, do you know anyone that has trouble with that?
Not at all.
Yeah. We need to be patient with people. They are people who only see things their own way. And did you know there are some people that may never change? What are you going to do about it? James says, if you've got people who are unchangeable, you need to have patience. James says you need to be patient when circumstances are uncontrollable, and you need to have patience when people are unchangeable and won't cooperate with us. And then there is a third time for us to be patient, and that is when problems are unexplainable. The classic example he gives is in verse 11. It says, you have heard of Job's perseverance. Job was the superhero of suffering. He was a wealthy man. He had everything going for him. And in a two-day period, everything in his life fell apart. He went bankrupt. His children were murdered. He got an incurable deadly disease that was very painful. And yet we think we've got problems. We look at Job and we've got nothing over him. He lost his family. He lost his friends. He lost his finances. He was suffering materially, physically, socially, every kind of way. And the worst part of Job's suffering was that he had absolutely no idea why was it happening. For 37 chapters in the book of Job, God didn't even talk to Job and didn't tell him why it's happening. Job didn't understand. And all of those unexplained problems, Job maintained his faith. He continued to look and to say, well, God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sometimes we just can't figure out our problems and know why things happen the way they do. But when circumstances are uncontrollable, we're to have patience. When people are unchangeable, we're to have patience. And when problems are unexplainable, we really need to have patience. Why? And here's the second part of this message. Why do we need to be patient? Well, first of all, because God is in control. Be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. In verse 8, three times in this passage, James said, the Lord is coming near. Jesus is coming back. Nothing can stop it. And the Bible talks more about Jesus' second coming when he comes back to judge the world than the Bible talks about his first coming, when he was here upon the earth doing all the miracles and claiming to be the Messiah. You see, God is in control of history, whether we accept that or not. God is in control of history, whether we see things happening and we don't understand why and we have no word or explanation from God. This history of the world and creation and the soon coming of the Lord, it's God's history. It's His story. He's got it all planned out. Everything is on schedule. It's all moving toward a climax that he says will be so. God is in control. And God's purpose for your life is greater than any problem that you might be facing right now. In the larger scheme of things, those pieces of the puzzle will come clear at some day, even if they're not clear right now. God is in control. And although I can't control everything that happens in my life, God can. So I ought to trust him. Ought to say it is well with my soul, even when I don't understand, because God does understand and God knows. Because God is in control and everything is working out, then I am simply told to be patient. Some of us are experiencing a real delay right now in life. And it's been kind of amplified with the pandemic, that everything seems to have been put on hold, and we're told to be patient and wear masks, and we're told to be patient and social distance, we're told to be patient and not to gather in crowds and all kinds of things. We're told to be patient. But know this, God is in control of his purpose. So here's the second reason why to be patient. Because God rewards patience. In verse 11, in one portion of that reading, it says, as you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. The second half of Job's life was more blessed than the first half, even though all of these tragedies happened to him. God doubled everything that Job had lost and had doubled that and blessed him twice as much in the end. And it says that it pays to be patient. There are all kinds of rewards for being patient. You grow closer to God. Your character grows. You become more of what God is wanting you to be. When you're patient this way and trust, you learn to get along with people better and to be more patient with them. You're happier in life. You reach your goals that God wants you to have. There's lots of benefits for being patient. God rewards it when you're patient. But not just on this side of eternity, but on the other side, you're going to be rewarded too, in a more significant way, in a more important way, in a way that we can't even begin to imagine or comprehend. You need to be patient because God is in control, and he's going to reward patience. And there's a third reason to be patient, because God is working things out. Often behind the scenes, things we don't even see, God at work, working on those things, but we don't see him at work. We don't understand what he's doing. And that verse 11, the latter part of that verse, you have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You see, God was working all the time that Job did not know why these things were happening and what was going on, why it was happening, but God was working and God had a plan. And that happens to our lives too. We don't know why some things happen in our life, but God is at work, and he's got a purpose, and he's got a plan. A delay in our understanding or explanation does not mean a denial that God is not going to tell us. If you've been praying for an answer to prayer and you haven't gotten it, you think God doesn't want to give it to you. But that's not true. A delay is not a denial. It's simply that. It's a delay. We have to learn the difference between no and not yet. It's a big difference. We want, and we want it now. But we have to be patient. God is at work even when we don't see what's going on. In Philippians 2:13, it says, God is at work within you. Maybe you can't see it, but God sees what he's doing in you through these times that we experience. In Romans 8:28, it says, and he knows that in all things God is working for the good. In every circumstance in your life, God is working. And so what are we told to do? To be patient and trust him. Now here's the third part and the last part that I wanted to share you in this message in today, and is how to be patient. James says, consider these three illustrations. what must you do while waiting on God? And the first thing you're to do is wait expectantly. In other words, that's what a farmer must do. A farmer must expect that he's going to have a harvest from his crop. And the Bible is telling you and me that we need to do the same thing. We must believe something fruitful is going to happen. And that's why these things are happening. While waiting on the harvest, the farmer is preparing his wagons or his vehicles or his time of harvest. He's getting ready because he's expecting a harvest to come. And we demonstrate our expectation by our preparation also. We need to get ready for God to give the answer that he is working out behind the scenes. In other words, we need to prepare to be ready to receive what God is wanting to give us. In Psalm 135 in the Living Bible, it says, I wait expectantly, trusting God, for he has promised that he will take care. What are you waiting for from God? What do you need from God? What are you waiting for? Maybe it's to heal a long-term illness. Maybe it's to help your marriage. Maybe it's to reverse your financial problems. Or maybe it's just for God to heal your brokenness. Do you need something from God this morning? The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. We're told over and over that God wants to heal and God wants to bless and God wants to give us. And how many times did Jesus said, oh, your faith has healed you. Your faith has given you the answer to your prayer. Your faith has made it well. It's your faith that has done it unto you. And so the Bible is saying we're to have faith and trust and belief in God. And if you do, what are you doing to get ready for God's answer? Because he's working behind the scenes. He's going to give the answer. Are you expecting that? And are you getting ready for God's answer? Are you preparing for the answer? Waiting is a time to get ready. And in Isaiah 49:23, it says, the Lord says, no one who waits for my help will be disappointed. No one who waits for my help, who trusts in God, who believes in God, who expects it, will be disappointed. Well, that's the first thing on how to be patient. Here's the second thing you must do while waiting on God, is to wait quietly. James points out the fact that we have a tendency to be irritated when things aren't going our way and things aren't under our control. In verse 9, it says, don't grumble against each other, brothers and sisters, because that you're going to be judged for doing that. And why does he talk about grumbling right in the middle of trying to teach about being patient? Because it's hard to be quiet when you're frustrated. What happens when you're frustrated and things aren't going your way? What do you do? Well, typically, we take it out on those closest to us. We act like they're the cause of our discomfort. We unload on others, and it's not even fair to do so because it's not even their fault. But that's what we do when we're impatient. We displace our anger and our frustration, and we focus it on those we love the most. James says, don't do that. You're to wait expectantly, and you're to wait quietly. And here's the last thing that James says. The third thing we must do while waiting on God is wait confidentially. Job never lost his confidence in all that was happening to him, all the tragedy that was happening. When the outlook is bad, we are told to look up. We're not to look around at all the bad things that are happening to us, but we're to look up to the one who is in control of what's happening to us. We're to look up. In Micah 7:7, it says, I will wait confidently for God. And how do we do that? How do we wait confidently? You have to have hope. You have to. Hope is holding on. Hope is believing that something is coming. Hope is believing that God will answer His promises. It's hope is praying. Hope is expectantly waiting. Because you see, God is our hope. When you've got a problem that's unexplainable, when you've got a problem that is stubborn and uncontrollable, then we're told to wait confidently because God is working. And how do we wait confidently? We're to be still. You don't take matters into your own hands and try to work it out your way. Psalm 37:7, it says, be still and know God. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. I started this message by asking you a question. I want to repeat that question. Are you waiting on something to happen in your life? Do you need patience to wait for the answer? Do you need patience with unexplainable problems that seem unsurmountable about you? What do? You remember what God has said here in the book of James. God is in control. It may be out of your control, but it's not out of God's control. Nothing is beyond God's power. Nothing is beyond God's purpose. For your life is greater than your problem. You're experiencing whatever it might be right now. God is greater than that which you're experiencing. God will reward your patience, if not in this life, He will in eternity, which is most important anyway. God is working behind the scenes for a purpose to give you an abundant life. And we say, how? Because God is going to make a way. He will make a way for all of those problems, all of those things that seem to be caving in on us, and He will lift those, and He will make a way. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we need patience. Help us to wait expectantly and get ready for it when it happens. Help us to be still and trust You. Trust that You are working behind the scenes, that You will make a way for us. Open our heart up to Christ right now so that we can say, I don't understand it all, Lord, but I realize I need You in my life. Please forgive me for being impatient, and forgive me for all the other things I know are wrong in my life. Come into my life and give me patience. Give me forgiveness. Give me love. Lord, I want You to be in charge of my life, and I ask You to make a way where there seems to be no way, to change me, to save me. Father, I thank You for loving me. I believe that today You want me to open my heart to You. You're putting Your Spirit within me. You're giving me a new start, a new path to life. You're working behind the scenes, and You'll reward my patience. If not here, then in eternity. Thank You, Lord. I come to You and I give my all to You now in Jesus' name. For it is in Him that I pray. Amen.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. Will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He New day.